Under Section 07 of the Copyright Act 1976, allowance is made for fair use for purposes such as criticism, comment, news reporting, teaching, scholarship, and research. Fair use is a use permitted by copyright statute that might otherwise be infringing. The views and opinions expressed in this video and on UME Radio YouTube channel are those of the host and or the guests and do not necessarily reflect the opinion of UME Radio YouTube channel.
Let's talk
relationships on UME Radio.
So what are we talking about?
Marriage, dating, parenting, business,
and love, emotions, sex.
It's a conversation with me, Lady Misty,
and DJ KTE
on everything from hot topics to taboos.
Join us Mondays at 9 p.m. live on UME Radio.
Follow us at Let's Talk Relationship Show on Facebook or on UME Radio on Instagram. Let's talk relationships. Arguments for the grown.
Get the UME Radio app to listen wherever you are. That is UME Radio. One word.
UME Radio. Positive entertainment 24/7.
Subscribe on YouTube and click the notification bell.
I'm not hearing Keith.
See if you hear me now. Are you hearing me now?
I'm hearing you. You're hearing me?
Ooh, yes, I am. Wonderful.
Nice. Wonderful. Oh,
yes. So how are you today? Welcome. Welcome.
I am great. How are you? How are
you? I'm doing fantastic. Yes. Fantastic. So welcome all to another night of LTR. That's Let's Talk Relationship. And tonight we're looking to have another amazing show. Definitely. Last week was really interesting, wasn't it?
Last week was
one of those off the chain shows. Yes, very spirited and they'll say well engaged.
It was good.
Yeah, it was good. So how was your day today?
It was hectic. I'm up from 4.
Oh,
so I'm tired. But it was good. It was very productive.
Wow. So is that 4 a normal thing for you, or is it just once in a while?
No, it's once in a while.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's a little bit reassuring, because if it's every day, then we know they got a problem there, right?
4 o'clock every morning. Definitely.
Ain't nobody want to do that every morning, 4 o'clock.
Oh, yes. Yes. How about you? How was your day?
It was productive again. You know, yes. I had a very long weekend getaway, and I really kind of drove for a little while, 2-3 hours. So I was really looking at God's creation. I saw things that were so amazing, mystical, and I just saw His handiwork.
Yes.
And again, I was just, the ride itself was like the trip itself.
Yes.
Because, you know, I got to do a lot of thinking and retrospecting and, you know, just really, just kind of going in deep, you know, and doing a lot of reflecting. So
yes, I like that.
Yeah, it was a bit restorative for me and refreshing. So I'm thankful and grateful for that. So yes,
definitely.
Yes. So tonight we're back with a very interesting topic.
Is jealousy ever a good thing in relationship?
Oh boy. It's a pretty wide topic there, huh?
It's interesting.
It's a big word.
Yes, it is.
Yes. And I guess we're going to find out rather quickly what are people saying and thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And it should be a fun night.
Yes.
Tonight. It really should be. And folks, we want to thank you for joining us, you know, on Let's Talk Relationships on UME Radio, because here we explore the dynamics of relationships and the evolution of relationships. We identify challenges and offer perspectives through transformative conversations.
Yes.
You know, we're here to promote strong and healthy family life and community. That's very important to us. Very important to us. It's important to us that you know that it is not our intention to offer opinions or advice on how you should live your personal life or how you or how your personal relationship should be. Do your own research. We strongly advise that. Be a free thinker. Make sure you are doing well in your own life as well. And know that we wish you love and happiness. Yes, so as we look forward to a great show, want to say a big thank you to all our partners and supporters, listeners and viewers from all over the world. And we're truly thankful that for the last year and a half, we have grown. We've seen the yes. audience grow and we've seen new faces and new countries that we're now in alignment with. So it's a real blessing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we know that you could be in so many other places, so many yes. other places right now.
True.
Mm-hmm. But you have chosen to spend time with us and we value your time, right? So yes, we'll jump right into our main topic after sharing a few reminders. So mm-hmm. welcome again to the show. So I am Gloria.
And this is DJ K-T-E. Yes, that's me. And I'm a divorce, a brother, a musician. I'm a twin. I'm an educator. I love life and I love God.
That's right.
And it is now October 25th.
Yes.
2021. And the time is now 9:07 p.m.
Yes. To listen or watch this or other episodes later, you can also listen to UME Radio on all major digital platforms, including via our app at app.umeradio.com, available on Apple or Google App Stores, iTunes, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Google, Podbeam, TuneU, Spotify, Stitcher, Play FM, Listen Notes, and yeah. More, yes.
They're all not here, but you know, those are some of the ones that we want to highlight. But yeah, we're thankful for all those different networks mm-hmm. and partners. Yes.
So the topic is jealousy ever a good thing in relationships?
Jealousy, wow.
Jealousy. So doing a little bit of research, we see that a little bit of jealousy in a healthy relationship is fine. Says biological anthropologist Helen Fisher, PhD.
Okay.
Someone also says that mild jealousy can be healthy, says Dr. McGivy. It reiterates the fact that an individual cares about his or her partner, values them, and does not want to lose them. So here we're hearing about what jealousy can do, the pros and the cons of jealousy, really. And we have jealousy carries the particular sense of zealous vigilance, and tends to be applied more exclusively to feelings of protectiveness regarding one's own advantages or attachments. Wow. And that's from Merriam-Webster's.com. Yeah, so what do you think about the topic?
I think it's exciting. I'm not sure if you have any response from YouTubers yet, and the viewers are...
Yes, I'm seeing Miss Brownie. Hi, hope you're good. So she says, God is jealous and so am I.
Well, that's straight for the bullseye, huh?
Yes.
God is jealous.
And so am I.
But on a serious note, though, but the Bible does say I'm a jealous God, you know? And he has shown it several times where he was like, hey, you know, these are my people, my child, and anyone who messes with my child.
That's right.
Going to feel the wrath of me.
So jealousy is good.
Yeah, I guess it's God good, huh?
Okay, it can be good in some sort of way.
Uh-huh.
So the weekend show says, woof, yes, definitely. This is a topic that I'm sure many can resonate with. I mean, I think there are times when we have been jealous sometime here or there. I don't know about you.
So if it's good, is it good for the ones who are jealous? Is jealous or is it good for the one who's feeling the jealousy?
I don't know.
Because people tend not to like it when it happens to them. Like, you know, why are you jealous of me for, you know?
I mean, people do like it. People actually like it just a little bit. Not a lot, but a little bit.
Well, how do you gauge it, though? It's hard to gauge, you know? Because You just never know how.
Sandra says, just a little bit of crazy.
A little bit of crazy.
Over what belongs to me. And I mean, I get it. Somebody says, I am an undercover jealous. I guess they're an undercover jealous person.
Well, we're going to hear what the guests ever say tonight about that, because...
We do. But before we even do, we're going to jump to a spotlight, which is things left unsaid before I do.
Uh-oh. Let's check that out.
I am a author. So my book, Things Left Unsaid Before I Do, is about questions that I wish I had asked or I had gone in depth in before I got married. And those questions would have clarified certain aspects of the marriage to probably help it to be a bit better. I mean, not everything that the counselor or premarital counselor can help you with, but at least those basic things I believe should have been covered. So that's what it's about. A little over a year after I got married, that was my first marriage, I was at work and I thought about some of the issues that we were having, and I decided to it started out just by writing them down in my diary and writing things about them that I wish I had known and how to better deal with it. That's how it started. You can find my book via Shopping Assistance JA there on Instagram. And if it is that you want to order it via online, you can order it on Amazon. If you want to contact me, you can contact me via The Unfiltered by J, that's on Instagram, or Gloria Adegold on Instagram. Very nice. So now we have some special guests, DJ KTE. You want to introduce them to us?
Why not? Yes, it'll be my pleasure. Mm-hmm. So let us invite a guest tonight. We have names and
masters. All right, I'll do this one for you.
I'll ask you to help me out because I don't want to put these names.
It's Ebinye Onyaye.
Ebinye Onyaye. Okay, thank you. Well, welcome here tonight. Please come on out and let us see you. And I know we're going to have a good time having you here tonight. We also have Steve Lawrence. Mm-hmm. Good to have you, Steve Lawrence. And we have Courtney Morrison. Pastor Courtney Morrison, you here with us tonight. And last but not least, we have Andrea Hampton. And
we are here.
I think we are here. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Wow. I'm seeing blue and red and white and
colors.
So, you know, we blacks are very colorful. We just have it like that. You know, that's what God made it. You know, we're so colorful, we're powerful, and we have presence. And I'm loving it.
Absolutely.
Yes. So tonight again, some of you are returned guests and some of you are new. And I'm sure that it's going to be an awesome, awesome night as we break down this jealousy thing that we kind of started. So tonight I'll be doing a lot of listening because I want to learn something myself.
I'm going to listen also.
So I know we got some great minds here tonight. And I'll put my glasses on so I can see these amazing people. Yes. All right. So we have you guys here. Just tell us a little bit about yourself. Just a little minute or two about yourself. So those who might have known you before can get to know a little bit about you. And we can just maybe dive into this conversation here. Starting with my lady on top, your name
Ebinye.
Again? Ebinye. Ebinye. I tell you, names and, I'm sorry. Pastor Courtney, names and myself, we kind of have an issue there. I'm working on it, I'm praying on it, but I'll get better. Thank you. If you can just introduce yourself quickly and we can take it from there.
All right. Thank you for having me on. My name is Ebinye Oshibodo Onyaye. I knew that name was going to get you, but that's okay.
You got me.
That's okay. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist, and I help married couples who feel like their relationship has fizzled out, and I help them get to a place of strong communication, friendship, and passion again.
Awesome. And to my left, this is Andrea Hampton.
Hi, yes, my name is Andrea Hampton. I am an entrepreneur. I have a nurse staffing company here in South Carolina. I tend to give many of my friends a little advice that seems to help them along the way. Just a little wisdom, I call it. Just a little wisdom. But yeah, I'm happy to be a part of this conversation. This is a very interesting conversation because jealousy is something that we can definitely have a little bit of healthy jealousy and a little bit of toxic jealousy. So I'm proud to be a part of this conversation. I'm eager for comments. Thank you.
And to my far right, Mr. I won't say white shirt. I'm going to say something else because I don't see his name there. But here we go. So who's hiding his name? Someone's hiding his name. I want to see
Mr. Name. Lawrence.
Mr. Lawrence. Thank you.
Hello. My name is Steve Lawrence. I am what you would call a free thinker. I am a social scientist, educator, technologist. And I've spent a lot of time in church ministry. So I get to see all the good, the bad, the ugly. And I try to come at it from a spiritual perspective for the most part. And having survived divorce and relationships and now happily married, I do understand what success and failure in relationships actually feel like. So I think I can come at it from experiential.
Sounds good. Sounds good. I mean, I think it missed not one thing. I forgot to say radio voice, but I'll leave it there.
I will look into it, definitely.
Dr. Pastor Morrison, sir. You've been one of our, or just so old-time favorite, man. You know, so give us a little snippet to hear what we about you.
Good evening, all. Courtney Morrison. I don't believe I have all the accolades that all these other panelists have. I'm just a pastor.
Well, that's a big thing.
I do premarital, postmarital counseling. I am also a radio show personality. Do a program called The Mailbox, Male Advocate. Also the chairman of a group called Men of God Against Violence and Abuse. And Left Wrong Do Right.
That's it for me. Wrong, do right. All right.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Yes.
Sure. So we're going to jump right into our topic. So as you know, our topic we're talking about, you know, is jealousy ever a good thing in relationships? So I'm going to read. There's an excerpt from yourtango.com, which is Susie and Otto calling. It says, 10 sneaky effects of jealousy on you and your relationships. So it says, 1, it endangers your physical health. It weakens your mental health. It damages the trust your partner feels towards you. It damages the trust that you feel towards yourself. Jealousy makes you misperceive common situations. It causes you to miss out on being present in your relationship. It restarts arguments. It brings up more intense insecurity. Jealousy makes it difficult to talk about even everyday topics. And it causes your partner to question staying in the relationship with you. So let's talk about that. What are your views on this?
Well, I'll take a jab at it straight out of the stable. I try to make a distinction between jealousy and healthy regard. So you have your partner, you want them to feel cared for, looked after, paid attention to. And you will take an interest in their safety. You may be able to spot things because you're outside the person. You're able to see things quite objectively. So you might see a colleague or a neighbor who is showing a bit too much interest or staring a bit too long. And you could even be a cautionary voice to say, you better watch it for that one. Not in a toxic way, but just because you're trying to nurture your garden and keep it going for as long as you live. While jealousy tends to be an imbalance, and you tend to see it with personalities that lean towards narcissistic, because what it does, people are seen as property as opposed to someone who has their own volition. Wow. And what you find in some instances, people who have that mindset, they will see relationships the same way people see prisons. They hold the key they let you in, they let you out. Mm-hmm. Not realizing that everybody has the ability to be a part of or choose to exit at any point. So, you know, it's clear from the very get-go to get regard, healthy regard, away from the definition of what would be textbook jealousy, which is, I'm not sure it's a healthy thing. I think the reference was made earlier in the program that God did say he's a jealous God, but we're talking about a perfect God. We are far from perfect. So if we are wielding that card of jealousy, people are going to get hurt.
Oh, wow.
People are getting hurt. Yep.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Irinia?
Yeah, I think a little dose of jealousy doesn't always have to be a bad thing. I think jealousy can be a stepping stone to greater communication in a relationship, you know, and you can use it to really help to develop trust if you have that healthy communication. But the type of jealousy that I think can be really difficult or that can be a problem is the kind of jealousy where you're checking each other's phones or where trust has completely broken down. But a little tiny dose of it that opens up the walls of communication, maybe that might not be a horrible thing.
I need help here for the next person. And that's a great point. I need to help here, somebody. Some years ago, I was dating this fine young lady. She was fine as ever. And, you know, at some point, she wanted to get married. And she started taking out these little books, you know, like wedding gowns. I'm like, what is she doing here? You know, in my mind, I'm like, I'm not ready for this as yet. In my mind. So I'm watching doing her thing. And eventually it came to a point where she kind of got interested in somebody else who liked her. And so she started moving her interests away. I thought I was the man. I'm not jealous. I'm not, you know, I'm good. You know, you want to change your mind and whatever. It's okay. I'm trying to be strong, Pastor Martian. But anyway, one Sunday I went over her house, uninvited, of course, not knowing what I was going to find. Please, brother, help me out here. This is scary. And as I drove to the house and I parked the car.
By yourself.
Yeah, somebody help me, please, because I saw her walking down, with a gentleman, and 6 feet tall, strapping young man, looking good, better than me. And I'm saying, wait a minute, is she walking with another dude into her apartment? And we were talking, and listen, my heart dropped. I felt heat in my head. My heart was beating fast. I started sweating. Okay, was I being bad? What was going on? Somebody help me, please. Because I felt like a mess.
That's healthy, though.
Help me, somebody. Help me, somebody.
EJ KTE. There are some good healthy emotions you have there. You just need direction. Direction. It's true that you actually cared, but one of the things about caring, if we're not careful, obsession, jealousy, envy can be some of the other characteristics that we see being portrayed as opposed to, I would say, what Sir Lawrence says, healthy regards. I will jump right in here and said, I've used the line before. My God is a jealous God, and so am I. And I remember when I was dating Karen, I remember my best friend one day actually went and hit her on her buttocks. And I flew over two desktops.
Whoa.
That's the worst. I did. Oh, yes. Well, I wasn't pastor at the time. I was just 20.
I thought you were
So let me put myself in the same boat that you were in. And so there was a flood of emotions about the person that I believe this was who I'm going to get married to. This is what, and I've been married to her for the last 30 years. I thought I should protect my interest. This is my vested interest, and I'm seeing my best friend seemingly wanting somehow to inch in on my investment.
Oh, dear him.
So we didn't get into a fight. I just pushed him and asked him, what do you think you are
doing?
That's right.
Wow.
Yes. You know.
It's like Rambo. Like Rambo.
If we were to actually go by the textbook definition of jealousy, as opposed to the biblical perspective. It talks about resentment. It talks about rivalry. It talks about actually looking at someone else's success and not wanting that to be realized. But the jealousy that our God talks about in scripture is one where I care so much about you. I'll protect you. I will keep you. I will not allow you to go astray. Yes? And it is one that he speaks of when he says, the shepherd has a rod and a staff. And some of us think it's for punishment, but with a sheep, it's never for punishment. It's not an issue of being harsh. The staff is to bring back into it puts itself around the neck,
rescue.
And pulls like and yeah. rescues the actual sheep from any unhealthy situation or even any perilous situation. And the staff actually is where the shepherd, when the sheep is sick, he will have the fence on one side, the staff, mm-hmm. and himself on the other, acts okay. as a means of protection, not only from predators, but from other sheep, because once a sheep becomes ill, then the other sheep will actually nudge it until it dies.
Wow.
And ooh, so man. We're talking about a mode of protection that is not harsh, that is not in any way obsessive. What we have seen and what we have looked at, I remember the first time I heard about good pride and negative pride.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is there something to be good about? And saying proud, God doesn't like the proud.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to be one where we would have to actually dissect and analyze what are we really talking about when we're talking about jealousy here. Textbook. I see someone asking the question, is jealousy a sign of one cheating? Jealousy in its true sense can also display itself in our own insecurities.
Yes,
true.
About
true.
Whether or not we believe we are in a position, you know, could I lose Karen to my friend at the time? Or am I so secure that he could do that and Karen herself would just turn around and put a hand to his face or do something?
You see,
or is it that no matter how buff the guy was in a DJKTE, he's now in second place automatically, he no longer takes first place.
Yes.
Or his presence doesn't count as much. And so it's going to take trust to override some of these situations and communication. So is there good jealousy and is there bad jealousy? I would say, however we classify jealousy, whether good or bad, mm-hmm. we must be careful as to how we dissect it and how we look at it, because we can give the wrong impression as to what's about. That's all I want to say right now.
Interesting.
I have other things to say later.
I know. Let me ask the two ladies here tonight, wonderful ladies. Have you ever had experience of having men been just over you and you were scared because of how passionate it was? Or did you have experience where you didn't feel like they were jealous enough over you? Have you had both of those experiences as females? You can start, Miss Hampton.
Yes, I have. I've experienced both ends of the spectrum of being extremely jealous, and one not so jealous at all. Just was very secure with himself.
Which you prefer?
And I'm sorry.
Which you prefer? And you can tell us which you prefer. The experience.
Well, I prefer neither, really.
Oh, wow.
Because the overly passionate jealous was abusive.
Okay.
You know, he was so insecure with himself that it resonated through anger and you're staying here, you know, you're not going to your families. It was so overbearing and it was so passionate that it was abusive. It was mentally abusive. It got to the point where it became physically abusive.
Oh, wow.
So of course I don't want that.
Right.
And the one that was not jealous didn't show as if he cared at all.
Oh,
you know,
That's a spectrum. Like, okay, that's a spectrum. You
know, yeah, just, you know, it was just two extremes. You know, okay. Do you care? Do you care if I am discussing our life with another man? Do you even care? Yeah. But, you know, he was so secure within himself, nothing fazed him at all.
Wow.
So I had one insecure and one not so secure. So neither one is, you need balance in everything.
Yeah. Yes.
Balance.
Miss O'Neilly?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I would really agree with you that as a woman, for me personally, jealousy is not cute. I think sometimes people think jealousy is this wonderful thing. And as women, we just love it when you're fighting over us and looking over our shoulders every second. I think jealousy could be a sign of insecurity, whether it's coming from a man or it's coming from a woman. I don't think we feel secure as women when a man is kind of fighting over us and looking over our shoulder, you know. Mm-hmm. I think, as you said, somewhere in the middle is where we really like it, where you have that positive regard for us. You know, you want to take care of us in a relationship. You want to improve the relationship. You want to strengthen the relationship. But you're so secure and you trust us so much that you're not worried about what other men are doing because you know who we are. You know that we are faithful. You know that we're not going anywhere. You know that we are invested in the relationship, you know. But honestly, if I had someone who was either ignoring me or fighting over me with other people, I would not feel comfortable in that relationship because it sounds like a sign of control. And
yes,
women don't like control. We do not like control at all.
Right. And if I can add to that a little bit, have you ladies ever had a point where you actually try to make someone get jealous, like maybe just in a way provocatively or maybe something, did something to make him feel jealous? Have you, be honest now, tell us the truth, ladies. We want to know.
I have not done that. I'm a big fan of a strong man who's confident in who he is. And I honestly have not done that. I haven't done that. Mm-mm. I don't want people fighting over me. I wouldn't feel safe.
I'm gonna be honest with myself and say yes, because, you know, not this day and age, not at my age, but in my 20s, you know, I was young and, you know, immature, and the guy I was dating was not as, you know, jealous. You know, he was not, he didn't have any, it was as if he didn't have any vested interest in me and who I was. So, you know, of course, at that point, you know, I was insecure and I wanted his, attention. I wanted his attention on me, you know, because we were in a relationship together and I showed him what I wanted from him in my actions. And usually that's how we speak to one another as individuals. We share things with people on how we want to be treated, you know, and we show them that attention. So yeah, in my 20s, I was a little immature. A lot immature, but I've grown and I've matured. So, you know, I don't aggravate people that way. That's unnecessary aggravation, and it's immature, and it's just,
it's not healthy.
You know, why try to make someone feel uncomfortable? Why?
Yeah.
So, if you need to go through all that, you don't need to be there.
Wow. That's
true. I agree. So I'm going to avoid this topic because I don't want to talk about it from my person. Oh my goodness. So we're going to go to the comments. So it's saying it will be very unhealthy for my wife to test me. I already think she does too much, way too much.
Wow.
I see that. I have seen a tease turn very dangerous, turn into domestic violence. She said she was just testing him, but it clearly was not fit for the test.
Wow.
Is there a difference between jealous spoken and unspoken, displayed or undisplayed? I'm undercover jealous.
Mm. Wow, that sounds interesting.
I think sometimes my wife dresses way too sexy. She is seeking to impress when I am at home. Where can she, or Where can she do that? Is something wrong with that?
No, let me ask you about this question, because that right there is a very serious thing right there. So brothers, you got to hit me up with this one now.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
I've you seen your wife at some point, maybe getting dressed to go somewhere, and say, honey, you can't wear that. Or please change that dress because, you know, I don't mind having you wear it in the house. But, you know, when they go outside, it may be a little bit much for the other guys looking to what's into my private space. Have you had experience before where you had to actually ask her nicely to kind of change that or change it? Something that's too low, it's too short, it's too thin, it's too whatever. Anyone you can take it, gentlemen.
Sir Lawrence, you care to go first?
Oh, guilty. I can see it.
It's not a matter of guilt. It's more about introspection. For me, I've had relationships that are balanced, and I've had relationships that are, as stated before, on both ends of the spectrum. What I've found is, if you do not feel as if you should be in a relationship or you are in a safe space in a relationship, it's really not somewhere you should stay. And we as human beings, we'll tell ourselves whatever we need to justify sticking around for abuse sometimes, because sometimes we love the misery or we like a part of the package, but not all of it. So we'll suffer along so that we can
get what we want. Right?
Get what we want. But the truth is, how I've started to approach relationships, and I remember my wife, when I met her, my current wife, when we spoke, instead of trying to talk about being the knight with shining armor and whatnot, I simply said, the only thing I will offer you is reciprocity. Because as far as I'm concerned, I see you as my equal. I want to be your partner. I want to offer what you offer. I want to secure you and you secure me. Mm-hmm. And I found that model worked far better than anything I've tried before. Okay. Because having tried all the other permutations and combinations, I realized that it just ends poorly. Mm-hmm. And it is not all the pain, it is not worth it. It might look good in a few pictures, but you want to be happy at home. Yeah. And trust me, COVID has been a real test.
Listen, say it again.
Figured out whether or not you wanted to be in that space.
Wow.
With that person.
Yes.
And that was a real test. No, I have been home with my wife for months. Mm-hmm. I remember at one point we were shut down together for almost 6 months and we survived. The only thing that we decided was the next time we buy a house, mm-hmm. we're going to have studies on the opposite side just because, you know, I want to do meetings without interruptions and she wants to have her discussions with her clients uninterrupted. So I'm loud. She's touchy-feely. So we decided we're going to encamp on both sides of the house. But the truth is, though, you have to honestly figure out, are you going to be doing this for a long time? And then when you figure that out, you realize, what does this take for it to continue? Am I going to aggravate my partner? Am I going to create scenarios that are going to make them uncomfortable? Because it may not work out as planned, you know. Mm-hmm. A lady might say she's doing it just to see what the competition looks like on the outside. It draws unwanted attention and draws danger into a home that didn't need danger.
Yes.
The male might be, it might be he's trying to put on a front for the boys. If you're in a marriage, you're no longer a boy. Yes. Be a man and protect your home.
Yes.
Right? So it's really about just figuring out what maturation should really look like at the age and stage that we're at, and doing what is necessary to preserve an ongoing. And one of the mantras that I've used in like my men forum groups and marriage counseling sessions is that, you know, usually if the grass is too green on the other side, it's because it's fertilized with bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if I'm allowed to use that kind of language in this adult forum, but usually I have done some farming in COVID. Yeah, and if you put manure in it, it will flourish.
Mm-hmm.
But not many people want to be in relationships with manure.
True.
So let's keep it nice and clean. Let's go for reciprocity. And let's respect the emotions and the feeling of the other person. Mm-hmm. Because one of the other things, too, is you also need to figure out what has your partner been through. There might be some triggers there. There might be some unresolved issues. And you might need to be that safe space that eventually help them unpack and resolve it.
Yes.
But until they're there, I wouldn't suggest you be there trying to trigger them and trying to cause these challenges. It's
But see, Pastor Marison, maybe you can probably help me with this one too.
Yes.
You know, as men, we know women tend to need more validation and more attention. It seemed that way in my experience. I mean, I was married. And we sometimes as men kind of lose that initial push and drive that we had when we first saw her. And we sometimes become complacent. I mean, I can attest to that. And we tend not to be as complimentive as we used to. We don't look as deep as we used to, you know, maybe because of work, we're tired, maybe. Speak to that. I mean, you know, what then should she do? I mean, because we men sometimes we kind of fall off a little bit, you know, after initial here.
May I address that? Because I did a questionnaire once for my married couples group. And one of the questions that I had there was for the wives to say, do you compliment your husbands? You know, I'm trying to write a book called Unequally Equal. There seems to be a high weight of responsibility, especially on men when it comes down to domestic violence, jealousy. He's seen as a leader, yet he should not be the leader at times, it would seem. And we have to be careful, I believe, when we are, you know, just as Sir Lawrence says here, if we're talking about being reciprocal in what we do, and we are talking about equal weight, when it comes on to the issues of emotions, when it comes on to the issues of carrying out whatever we need to carry out as a duty, as a chore, as a task, or even as principles, it must be seen as a principle. A principle is a principle and not a preference.
Yes.
And oftentimes we tend to address things out of preferences and not out of principles. You know, DJ KT, you said the woman would, it seems this way to you, would sometimes seem to want more validation. And it is something that I've looked at and is writing about as well, where there's an expectation, the wife dress, since we're talking about going out and dressing, the wife dresses in a particular manner and she expects to be complimented going through the door. Yet it doesn't reciprocate itself for the man.
No.
And that is problematic because guess what? A lot of women seem not to recognize that if that man also goes out and he's told how well he's looking, oh, I like your beard, I like your clothes.
Yep.
Before I got married, and I'm going to be honest with you, my wife knows. There's this young lady who went on a trip together and she started doing my eyebrows. Just traveling together. We travel on a
group. Hallelujah. Together. Oh, my Lord.
And without question, whether or not we believe it, I was about to say men, but again, I would be unequally equal by saying that. Human beings love to feel appreciated, getting some form of attention that makes them feel good, whether male or female, whether man or woman. And so we have to be careful to address the situation in that sort of balanced way, or else we too can help to shift the balance of what we're talking about. We have to be careful. Jealousy, coupled with other emotions such as anger, such as being miseducated in the first place, will always manifest itself. In us treating either women like property, please let me say it clearly, women treating men as property as well,
because
we seem not wanting to address that. You know, one of the things you see most often, and I'm not sure if it is because women own most of what is happening and men seem not to, if something goes wrong, the woman say, get out of my house. You see, if it were that the man owned the house, I don't think he would necessarily want to say, get out of my house. We have to be careful. And so jealousy, I've seen women burn the clothing of men. I've seen them punch the tires. We have seen one on YouTube where she throws gasoline inside the car and then strike a match and lit it. And so we have to ensure, therefore, that what we're looking at is a balanced picture. I see somebody.
I'm seeing it. Travel coach blogger. He says, yes, she treats me like I'm her property. There's some other statements, but I can't do it because I am way too scared of the Me Too. Oh, the Me Too movement.
Me Too. Wow.
Yes. I think he was saying something earlier about his wife dresses too sexy. Going out, he said, I love my wife and she's gorgeous, but what can I do to help her understand that I just don't like how sexy she dresses on the road? All the curves exposed most of the time.
Wow.
And I don't necessarily believe she's dressing that way to get any attention from the outside. I believe the day and age we're in, a lot of women and men too are getting more conscious of looking well presented. Let me use that word before I go to sexy. Mm-hmm. Well presented, because I believe the word sexy has a connotation to it.
Yeah.
You know, it is how I look. The word sex is there attached to sex.
Yes,
it can be very subjective as well. Yes. Because, yeah.
We speak about elegance separate and apart from we speak about being sexy.
Yes.
You know? And well-dressed, we tend not to necessarily even speak to the word sexy. So if she's dressing sexy, in other words, seeking attention to herself, especially when it comes on to, wow, and let's get real. Look at my breasts. Look at my curves. Look at everything. And men do it too. Yes?
Yeah.
Especially if they have been in the gym and the six-pack is there, you know,
Let me
to be one where we are ensuring that partners are comfortable or have had a communication or have addressed how they're feeling genuinely about how the other person is treating the dressing. There has to be dialogue on it.
You know, that's a very important thing you mentioned, Pastor Morrison. And there's something I would like the ladies to address, because earlier Ms. Hampton mentioned about toxic and being an abusive relationship. And I like both of you ladies to kind of, you know, this program here, you never know who's watching. And most of who responds to us are the few. Most people, they watch, they observe, and they make their own little mental, you know, decisions and choices. But speak to the lady maybe who might be younger, maybe in her 20s or 30s, about the dangers of accepting that anger, that toxicity in this thing we call jealousy. Maybe speak to some young lady out there who might be watching right now on that, and what they should look out for and what they should be aware of, and maybe how to get out of it. Maybe, you know, so I think that came back to me very strong, that maybe both ladies could speak on that issue of young ladies who might be watching this program right now.
I think one benchmark that I would say is never accept something today that you don't want to live with in the next 20 years of your life. So when you're walking out of the home and you're dressing, however it is that you dress, because let's say he also accepted that you dressed in this certain way today, and then 20 years from now, you're still dressing this certain way after 4 kids or 5 kids or whatever. And now he's mad at you, but he accepted it today. 20 years, he doesn't want to accept it. So think about the way he treats you. Is it something that feels good for you right now? Or is it something that you're just accepting because you just want love in your life, whatever love looks like to you? So think about that. When he's in your presence, when you're in his presence, how do you feel about yourself? Do you feel small? Or do you feel like you're equal partners? Pastor Morrison was talking about, you know, equal partners, you know. Do you feel like you're equal to him, or do you feel like he's underneath you, which is not good, or you're underneath him? That's still not good. So think about that, you know. Let's not rush into relationships because we are bored or lonely. Let's figure out being with somebody who we trust, who also trusts us, who gives us the space to speak our minds. It goes both ways, who we can also give the space to speak his mind as well. So, and somebody who validates us and who we can also validate. I think everybody needs validation. It's a human experience. It's a human feeling. So for the young ladies out there, is he somebody who pursues you When I say pursue, I don't mean in a scary way, but in a way of trying to get to know you and trying to want to court you and trying to want to improve the friendship and know what you like. So those are little things that I would say for the young ladies out there is jealous love is a very dangerous type of love because it can take a bad turn really quickly and you can find yourself feeling trapped very quickly.
Ms. Hampton?
She mentioned some really good points. With what I could say to a young woman or even an older woman who's dealing with a jealous spouse or a jealous boyfriend, it's a difficult, you know, it's a difficult question because some women feel dependent on their spouse or their boyfriend and really can't see no way out. And it's you know, that's not a one size fits all question, you know. So the only thing I can do is encourage a woman to prepare yourself. Prepare yourself mentally if this source of security, whatever it is, financial security that they're providing you, a roof over your head, what if that was to all go away? What would you do? Because we're not all here forever, but you have got to prepare yourself for an exit. You've got to plan accordingly, mentally. That's where it's going to all begin. To prepare yourself mentally and to stack your paper. Stack your money and be prepared for a fight. Be prepared because insecure people do not let go easily.
True.
They don't let go easily. And I would say, because a lot of these, a lot of the systems that are set up to help battered women, I hear they don't, you know, and it's just the system. So, you know, I can't say I would refer a woman to a battered woman shelter because I've never been there and I don't know if they work, you know. Mm-hmm. All I can do is say mentally prepare yourself and stack your money and just make some form of timeline or on when you're going to get out because you could die.
Yeah.
Don't announce your exit when you're leaving in the event of domestic violence. Do not announce and say, I'm leaving tomorrow. And don't do that.
No, that's not safe.
You know, there was a case that I had dealing with here in Jamaica where the husband called me to say he had a sharp machete, a cutlass.
He called you? He called you to tell you that? Oh my God.
Yes. Oh, and wow. He was awaiting his wife getting home. And he was going to limb her. That's what we describe it as in Jamaica. He was going to cut her to pieces because he believed she was having an affair with another man. About 10 minutes later, unknown to each other, the wife called me to say she's waiting for her husband to go to sleep because she's going to pour hot oil in his ear so that he doesn't awaken. So both were planning to kill each other same day without one having knowledge of the other. I made a plan. I called a mutual friend who they respected that we meet there. And I drove from one parish to another, one that is not close to Kingston, right? Or St. Catherine. Got there, when both turned up, they were shocked to see each other there. And we sat and we talked about it. they're still together. But you know, there is a definition here of jealousy in the dictionary.com too that I was looking at, and I said, whoa, that no wonder we are talking about good jealousy and bad jealousy, because the dictionary itself does present both sides of what jealousy is.
Mm-hmm. Pastor Morrison, Pastor Morrison, I gotta cut you here because this is a cliffhanger here.
Mm-hmm.
I need you guys a favor. I need a favor from all of you, your panel here. Could we have a part two of this and come back this next week, please? This is incredible.
Next week is what date?
Could we do this and have you guys back for part two of this? Because this is really, really important.
Sure. I can make it next week, Monday.
This would be great. Yes, this is really powerful here. You can leave it as a cliffhanger for now because
our time is up. Next week is the first. Yes.
We're out of time for this first segment here. And this was a powerful segment here. I like what I'm hearing. I like where it's going. And we want to come back and have this segment here. Is that
the
good?
The name of my book is Reborn. Yeah. And that's Reborn is a story, a personal story about my journey from a place of despair to fulfilling God's purpose in my life. I have gone through a lot of challenges, a lot of, things that happened to me in my childhood all the way to my adulthood. And the Lord impressed on my heart to write my story, to share with others, because, you know, one thing about me, I'm transparent. And I believe when you share your testimony is to help somebody else get out of their situation, because a lot of us go through a lot of changes, a lot of challenges in life, especially I grew up in the church world, a very strict environment, very religious environment. And it had a lot of, stressors in my life. I didn't know who I was as a little girl. You know, I grew up with parents. My father was a pastor. And I was totally lost in this church world. I didn't know who I was or if I was worth anything or if I had any type of purpose in life. So my vision about God was so warped because I never thought God loved me the way they presented it. So I was a very lonely young lady. I had a lot of low self-esteem. So I was just really trying to maneuver and to find my way, through life. So it was God who helped me through the process, even though I wasn't focusing on Him as much. I want to share something, you know, and chapter 2, page 17, Forsaken. I just want to read a little excerpt of it. And it says, in 1975, as I attended middle school and the family moved to a large four-bedroom apartment building, was that this situation, things began to worsen for me. For instance, I was punished a lot. At times, I never understood why. My father never believed that the Christian told lies. For instance, if someone from the church would report to him that they saw me somewhere and was doing something wrong, I would deny it. However, I would be told that I was a liar and received the beating for it. So I became so tired of constantly being blamed and beaten for situations where I didn't have any idea. So I tried harder to be good, but notice each time I tried, it wasn't enough. And I realized that each time I would speak things, my mother would tell me to be quiet. And after a while, she developed a resentment to me. And, you know, so I struggled a lot to be a part of a family. I struggled a lot to be seen. I struggled a lot to be loved. And this book is to help others who are struggling to find out who they are and find out their identity and who they are in God and whose they are, because it's so important to find who you are, you find yourself. Because once you know who you are and knows whose you are in God, you know, your life changes. And then you're on a path where you're evolving and growing and building, and you are increasing in self-esteem. And the more you understand yourself, is the better you are how to handle situations in your life and even handle people, you know, to work with people and to really learn how to be empathetic learn how to, you know, reach out in some way, shape, or form, and to be where, you know, can be there in the moment with that person, because you understand where they're coming from. Because you see, a lot of what they're being challenged with is the same thing that you were dealing with in the past. So when God delivered me, I was able to share this story in order to help others to heal. I'm coming from a place of darkness, you know, a new me came forth, you know, and I'm like, God, this is a powerful title, you know, because it sends a message, you know, that when God rejuvenates your life, it's like you're into a new person. You're very different, you know. It's like you're starting over again from scratch, you know. It's like, wow, you know, it's a new day, a new dawn, you know. So this title was so fitting for, you know, my journey and where I came from.
I want to welcome everyone back to another episode of Bible Cufflinks and Stilettos. You're here with me, Dr. Wanda Thomas, and I am so happy to be here this evening. I'm not going to reiterate what already been said. I'm just going to go right to my topic on today, which is prosperity. But before we start, please hit the notification button for a new video and when we go live. Okay. With that said, I want to share with you guys. Also, I want to say, coming from 3 John 1:2, which says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prosper in good health." What do you say about that, guys? How do you interpret that scripture? Most people come from that scripture always with naming, claiming, grabbing. In that sense, success, God is blessing me because I have a car, I got a house. I mean, all those things are wonderful, but you tell me, how do you look at success? Is that a scripture that you would come from that make you feel that you have succeeded in life? Because God wants us to prosper and be in good health. So does that mean everything we touch, everything that we do, it's really more on a physical perspective? Or is it coming from a more spiritual? You ask yourself that question. I pondered on that question so many times, and I pondered on a lot of scriptures so many times from coming from really, where do I fit in those scriptures? How does this scripture better my life? What can I glean from this scripture? Is everything in the Bible about me naming, claiming, grabbing, and so on and so forth? Or is it more a spiritual? Haha. Is it spiritual or is it physical? Because God talks to us on a daily basis about his son in his word. In the Old Testament, Jesus is concealed, but in the New Testament, he is revealed. In the Old Testament, we were sacrificing and idolizing idols and so on and so forth for our atonement. And in the New Testament, we're under the new covenant. So when Jesus came on the scene, all of that was over. Yes, he said, I will, if you worship me in spirit and in truth, those who seek the kingdom, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He goes on and say, I will give you desires of your heart according to his riches and his glory. He goes on and say that all things according to his word, all things can be given unto you. I mean, it's just scriptures, countless of scriptures over and over about how God wants you to be the head and not the tail. But does that mean we come and grab it, claim it, and so on and so forth? Or is it spiritual? I look at it from both perspectives, spiritual and physical, but mainly from a spiritual I like to come from. For instance, I have a lot of stuff going on right now. I have a lot of stuff, which is in a good thing. It's a good thing, but I have, I'm wearing so many hats and and I'm praying, saying, okay, Lord, you know, you have, he's given me really a lot of skill sets. That's what I look at. Now, is everything I'm doing is coming from God? I mean, they're positive things, but I look at it more so from a lot of skill sets that God had blessed me with, and I just utilize them. Sometimes it can be a little overwhelming because we're working towards a certain lifestyle, if you will. We're working towards security, and we all want security, but are we to kill ourselves in the process to get the house, the car, the two cars, maybe the two houses? So all of those things are wonderful. I don't knock that down or whatever the case may be. I really don't. But me personally, because I said this before and I said this last week, I had lived like a rock star. And when I say lived like a rock star, really, battered, if you will, a crazy life. I didn't know no better because I wasn't in Christ. I wasn't into the Bible. So for me, I didn't know the Bible then, or even knew what Jesus, it was almost like I was a baby, a 40-year-old baby, a 40-year-old virgin. Whoever saw that movie, a 40-year-old virgin. That's how I was when I came into the church. I was 40 years old, lived like a hellbound child, you know? So I live the way I used to chase after the world and do the things I wanted to do, the way I wanted to do it, how I wanted to do it, and nobody couldn't say anything. Now I give all of that energy to God. And I promise you, when you seek God, when you seek him, all of those things, prosperity, whatever it is, what it means to you, is you're going to receive it. Because if you seek him first, the kingdom, all things, he said, will be added unto you. That means love, joy, loving your family, your children, your wife, your husband, your children are going to love you. Your wife is going to love you. Your husband is going to love you. To me, that's prosperity. You're going to enjoy life at its fullest. The word of God illuminates you. My purpose every week, as God allow me to come forth, I'm always going to share the goodness of God. Take us out the equation and always thinking that we have to have this, I have to have that, or we're not blessed if we're not giving material things. But I beg to differ. We're blessed just the fact you receive Jesus Christ and we have eternal life. That's your complete blessing. We're blessed because of that. Oh my God, I love it. I just was listening to a spotlight just before we came on with Dr. Faith, and she was just hitting so many things, you know, hitting the hammer on the nail with she was giving little synopsis and outline of her book, and I was just sitting here just enjoying it and just listening to her. And she was saying how she didn't know who she was in the church, and you know, growing up in the church. See, that's the beauty about me. I wasn't brought up in a church. I was that child that was brought up with a bunch of siblings. Parents wasn't Christian, but Easter Day, Easter Sunday, is when we went to church in our little bonnets, ruffled dresses, and little stockings, and the guy and the boys in their hats and their trench coats and a little three-piece suits, and all of the people, all of the children in the neighborhood, and all of us, most of us that was all dressed up, were the ones who didn't really go to church. We only went on Easter Sunday. And it would be something that my mother will try to do on a regular basis, but it never lasts. And, you know, we were happy. She's like, oh, you don't got to go this weekend. We were like, yay, we were happy. You know, what did I get out of it as a child? I can't really say. I don't remember nothing when I was going to church as a child, because it was just looking so crazy and sounding so crazy to me. I didn't know what I supposed to have got out of going to church. So, of course, you know, our lives are already written in a sense, because if someone would have said today, you know, Wanda, you would be doing this, you would be doing a radio show, you would be doing a podcast, a TV program, I would have looked at them and said, I don't know what Wanda you talking about, because it's not me. You know, so I look at all of this today from when I didn't understand any of that. I mean, I was a complete heathen in church. I was the total opposite of Dr. Faith they just spotlight. She was pretty much brought up in a church. I was a heathen in church. I was a heathen. We didn't go. My family, I learned about the Bible. I'll be 56 next month. I learned about the Bible and got in church when I was 40 years old. And I was like a, if you will, a virgin, a child, trying to figure this all out. Where did we come from? Because, and I'm only mentioning Dr. Faith because she said something. It's like you have to change your whole mindset. It's like you had to literally reinvent yourself. That's how I feel. So when I was sitting here and listening to her, I'm like, wow. That's what I had to do, reinvent myself. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know where I was going. I was just working to pay the bills and was doing a lot of things, but had no premises, had no foundation, and just, I'm going to get it, though. I'm going to do it, not knowing, oh, my God. Had I would have just sat back and listened, well, correction. That's the thing. No one never really, really, really sat back and told me about Jesus. That is my prosperity, that spiritual faith, that spiritual walk. Someone says prosperity is success or the state of success, especially financial or material success. Prosperity often implies success in terms of wealth, health, and happiness, but it can also be used more broad. Absolutely. You know, I agree. You know, just how that person indicated that success for me is more spiritual. Of course, yes, that's an add-on. The cars, the house, the boat. In my case, you know, the motorcycle, three-wheel motorcycle, mind you. I think that's awesome. I just got my license in that this summer. So I can't wait till next summer because I got it at the end of the summer. So I just pride myself, how I look at prosperity, I just pride myself on trying to be the best that I can be and to help and give a helping hand in everything that I do, you know. So that's my take on prosperity. But also look at it from another perspective. Prosperity is also with, look at that wife relationship. See, we look at it, the promotion at the job, the titles, and all these other things, the fame and the fortune, wonderful, not putting that down, but I look at it from a family perspective. All of that is beautiful, but if you don't have no foundation to stand on, you don't have no one that loves you, you know, that man loves his wife, loves his family, that woman loves him, the kids love you, that's success to me. That's prosperity. You can have all the money in the world, but nobody likes you. Your own wife don't even like you. Your kids don't want to be around you, but you bring home the bacon, you bring home the money. That's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful sentiment. But what good is it if you don't have anyone that loves you? Prosperity. You can't go wrong. Seek the kingdom. You cannot go wrong. God loves you. I'm here each week. I want to press upon you the love of God. I want to press upon you the love of Jesus. I want to press upon you the love of the Holy Spirit, because without any of those, we cannot do anything. And that's the beauty of being a Christian. I love being a Christian because before I was a Christian, I didn't know which way was up. I was here, there, everywhere, just doing all kind of hellbound stuff, all kind of hellbound things, just doing whatever I wanted, doing it my way. Nobody can't tell me anything, don't say anything, and I just want to do it my way. Well, I'm here to tell you that God loves us in our mess. So whoever is listening and don't really know God or don't know Jesus, you know, you don't have to go to church, and I'm not taking away church, but you can glorify him right there where you are. If you start right now, today, wherever you are, I don't care where you are, in your car, in your bathroom, in the crack house, if you call right there, call his name right there, he will hear you. He will hear you, and you can watch your life change, but you have to want it to change. That's prosperity to me. You know, I'm a licensed officiant, and one of my favorite scriptures is when in Proverbs 18, when the Bible says that a man who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtain favor with the Lord. I love that scripture. I love it, and I'm always going to press upon it. And you know why, guys, I press upon family and love so much? Because I can't wait to find my Boaz, you know. Not only that, that scripture, not only, let me tell you, when it comes to that husband and wife, he said he finds favor. That's profound. You find favor when you are married. So who you cannot say that being married is not prosperity. That's prosperity, because he finds favor. Now, I'm not saying he's taking from a single folk, but look at that, that's married. He didn't say you had to be a Christian, but he said he finds favor with those who are married, because every day we get an opportunity to change our life. Every day we get an opportunity to be illuminated by the word of God. That's if you want to, because there's people on every corner, every block, a church on every corner. You may got a coworker that always humming a hymn or speaking a word about Jesus or quoting. I know I was. I know my coworkers was, they were sick of me. They were like, "Will you just be quiet?" I was so dogmatic and promoting God that I had a coworker that said, "Won't you just be quiet?" You know what? And the more he said that, the more, I mean, I literally was arguing him down. I'm sorry, guys. I have to laugh because as I'm thinking about it and I'm sharing this, you know, I almost seemed like I was insane because I wouldn't give in. But I thank God now that I know how to take a seat back. I know how to sit back. I know how to be quiet. I just sit and observe. I know when to speak, when to shut. I'm very flexible. I'm flexible. I'm intuitive. I'm submissive when need to be. I mean, God is awesome. And I learned all of this because of the Word of God. And before the Word of God, I was a mess. I was a mess. I like that. Somebody said, I love my wife. Yes. Yes. He said the bedroom is never defiled when it comes to husband and wife. I love that part. I'm sorry, guys. I can't wait for my bedroom not to be defiled when it comes to my husband. I promote, because I'm a licensed officiant, I promote marriage, you know, and I, you know, again, I'm single. I'm looking for somebody to preside over me when I find that Boaz. But in the meantime, I'm going to keep wishing and hoping not only on myself, but on others to build that security, because you have a contract. I always stress marriage because it's a contract. It's a contract not only with your husband and wife, but it's a contract just like God has a contract with us. It's you're bound to one another. And that's a beautiful thing, instead of being a loose wild cannon. You know, I'm not saying I'm a loose wild cannon, but I used to be. So now I'm just reserved and I'm patient and just waiting patiently for my love to come. And that's another thing, you know, I can talk a lot on my prosperity, my has and have nots in my lifetime. There was a time when I didn't have two brown cents to rub together. And not only that, I was sitting there, I would be in my apartment. And I'm like, Lord, I don't want to lose my apartment. What are you going to do? It's painful. It's painful sometimes to wait on the Lord. It's really painful to wait on the Lord. But I want to challenge you guys. I want to challenge you, those who never thought about what prosperity really is. Take yourself out of the equation of getting a car and house and all those things and look at it from a spiritual. Seek the kingdom of God. If you seek the kingdom of God, you cannot fail. He is there to love on you. He will comfort you. He will revive you from whatever you're going through, any turmoils, any health purposes, any sicknesses that you're going through, any health issues that you may be going through. He will heal you. He will heal your family. He will revive you and your family. If you're seeking a job, if you're seeking relationships or communication, are you seeking just comfort? Are you seeking friends, God, a church, home? God is there. People are there that want to help you. Guys, I gotta go. I'm getting ready to close, but I challenge you guys that you all make the best out of it and just call out on God and seek him in your worst of times. He love you. Guys, God bless you. And I hope this was inspiring. I hope that I touched and pressed upon some of you hearts, and I just wish you the best in your life. God bless you and have a blessed day.
Helping to make dreams become a reality. That is her mission. Today, we are here to introduce you to a phenomenal woman of God, an ordained minister, counselor, speaker, licensed wedding officiant, a certified chaplain. She holds a doctorate in theology, master's in pastoral counseling and divinity, and a bachelor's in psychology, along with certifications in Christian counseling, mental health, adolescent behavior, and family counseling. So I'd like to speak to you a little about your work with families and couples. When I visited your website, greatwisdomunlimited.com, so that leads me to ask you, how important is family counseling and who should seek it?
The importance of family counseling is very important. That should be priority. And I'm going to speak from just being my, being an Afro-American, Black African-American person, right? We out here, and I'm going to speak only in my small circle, because I don't know what's going on in the rest of the world. But I know in my circle, my immediate family, my immediate friends, and the friends I've known over the years, they don't do counseling. That's just a fact. I can only speak from my small circle. They don't do counseling. And because I practice counseling now, this is what I stress to them. You need counseling. You need to seek someone. Someone who can be objective. Someone you can vent. A speaking board, if you will. They will hear you with no bias, no prejudice behind it. Because they don't know you. Like when you go to your friends and your family, they know you. They're going to give you your opinion, their opinion. They're going to give you their advice. And if they are doing this, who are these folks? What's your life doing so good that I even should listen to you? And a lot of times, their life is not even, you know, they're not even doing what they're advising. Mm-hmm. So be careful. Go to that stranger. Go to that stranger and sit. Because that's what we are. We're mediators. We see what the other person don't. We are outside looking in.
Yeah, if someone is listening right now and they are thinking about getting premarital or family counseling, but they have doubts, what would you say to them?
Well, again, I am a woman of God, and the Spirit leads me in everything that I do. And the beautiful thing about what I do, my counseling is based around the Bible. I can't do it, and neither can I. I don't care how, what your skill sets and how awesome you may think you are, it is the Spirit of God that covers it all for us all. I'm here to listen, be that listening board. Since, if you will, yell, scream. I may even give you a punching bag if we're in person. Punch the bag. Get it out. Now, once you get all of that out and clear the air and get all of that pollution out, now, how do you feel and where do you start?
Let's indeed. Indeed. So my final question is, how does someone book your services?
Call me up. Go to my website. Send me an email. You can text me. You can call me. Wherever floats your boat, everybody is into the device.
You can contact Dr. Wanda Thomas at great, and that's GR8WisdomUnlimited@yahoo.com. GreatWisdomUnlimited@yahoo.com. On LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, and at www.great, once again, GR8WisdomUnlimited.com. Or you can call at 1-732-900-7362. That's 1-732-900-7362. Or email us at info@umeradio.com. Until next time, I'm Trisha Gay Kelly. Hey, America.
Let's talk
relationships on You Me Radio.
So what are we talking about?
Marriage, dating, parenting, business,
and love, emotions, sex.
It's a conversation with me, Lady Misty,
and DJ KTE
on everything. From hot topics to taboos.
Join us Mondays at 9 p.m. live on UME Radio.
Follow us at Let's Talk Relationship Show on Facebook or on UME Radio on Instagram. Let's talk relationships. Arguments for the grown.
Get the UME Radio app to listen wherever you are. That is UME Radio. One word.
UME Radio. Positive entertainment 24/7.
Subscribe on YouTube and click the notification bell.